Well, it's a pleasure to be with you all tonight. I'd like to read a few verses. First of all, I'd like to look at Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable or intelligent service. Another verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, two verses here, verses 19 and 20, 1 Corinthians 6, verses 19 and 20. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Well, the Lord has allowed us to hear a very clear and plain gospel tonight. And as I hope as I look into your faces, that each one in this room has really received the Lord Jesus as Savior, that you can say, He's my own personal Savior. And you have acknowledged Him as Lord, because it says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, or Jesus as Lord, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And so, as I say, the most important and the most blessed thing is to know Him as your Savior. In fact, what I am saying tonight won't have a special interest to you if you don't first know Him as your Savior. I was also thinking, as I see all the many young people here tonight, and I often think when a little baby is born into this world, a life is begun for eternity. And dear young people, have you thought that that life that you are now living is only the beginning of eternity? You're going to live eternally with the Lord Jesus in glory, or you'll be eternally in that place of eternal judgment. You're going to live eternally with the Lord Jesus and have His approval as your life is manifested, or it will be lost. It's possible to have a saved soul and a lost life. And God's desire for each one of us is that we should not only have saved souls, but that we should have saved lives. Lives that would redound in that glory to the glory of the one who died for us and rose again. But you know, the Christian life is not an easy one. I acknowledge that. It's much more difficult in this generation than it was when I was brought up too. But God is sufficient. He can give you the grace and the strength that you need, that you can live in 1995 and in 1996 when it comes, for His glory and for His praise. And when you think of what He has done for you, the mighty price that He paid for your redemption, I say it's well worthwhile living for Him. Dear Mr. Darby said, the Christian life is worthwhile if it were 1,000 times harder than it is. As we think of the world that's going on, striving to find something that satisfies, only to be disappointed, you know this. Your friends are trying to find something that satisfies. And I know that sometimes envy arises in our hearts and we think they're having a better time than us. But the pleasures of sin are only for a season. But what is lived for the Lord Jesus is 1,000 times worthwhile. And I want to encourage you, dear young people, to live for Him. And what I really had on my heart is, first of all, these two verses that I read, that you would present your body a living sacrifice. That is, as though you were to say, Lord Jesus, I thank Thee for saving my soul, and I just present myself to Thee. Tell me how I should live. Tell me what I can do. I want to live to please Thee, because Thou hast done so much for me. And then, too, it tells us in the other verse that we read in 1 Corinthians 6, ye are not your own, you're bought with a price, your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. When you are saved, the Holy Spirit of God comes to indwell your body. What a marvelous thing this is, and yet what a serious thing. And so it says, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. And that's God's desire, and it's my desire for you, too. I've often said that the most important decisions of our lives are usually made before we're 25 years old. When you think of what, you decide what kind of work you're going to follow. You decide, first of all, and I hope it's true of everyone, you decide to take the Lord Jesus as your Savior. You decide what company of Christians you want to be identified with, where the Lord would have you to be, at His table, finding your place there. You make these decisions usually before you're 25. You choose where you're going to live usually by the time you're 25. You choose often the partner that you're going to have in life to share life with you. What important decisions are made in youth? And that's why the enemy makes a special attack on youth. Because he knows that these important decisions are so far-reaching in your life. And they're made at a time, if I can put it this way, when you haven't had much experience. Oh, you say, well, isn't it too bad if I could just wait until I had a little more experience? No, dear friends, dear young people, you don't need to wait until you have a lot of experience, because we often rely on experience instead of on the Lord. You have the best friend in the world. You have the Lord Jesus. You have the person who knows better than any of your best friends what is right for you to do, your job, where you live, the Christians that He wants you to be identified with, gathered to the name of the Lord Jesus, giving Him His place in your life. Why, all these decisions, you have the best friend in the whole world, better than all your good friends that you have, the Lord of glory. He says, I want to be your friend. I want to help you in those decisions, and I pray that you will seek to make those decisions for Him. Well, what I really had on my heart, and I just want to look in Joshua chapter 1, and I'd just like you to notice a few things in this first chapter. I'll begin at the first verse. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers. In this chapter, there are three special words of encouragement, and that's what I had on my heart tonight, because we do need to be encouraged. I don't think there's anybody that hasn't felt discouraged. I was a young person. I come to a conference, and when it was over, I got some encouragement, but quite often I was discouraged too. Things happened, things were said, and so on. And perhaps there's young people who have come here, and you had a lot of hopes, and you're going to go home, and you say, things didn't work out. I'm so discouraged. I'm so disappointed. But isn't it wonderful that our God is the God of all encouragement? And here what the Lord is bringing before Joshua is how richly he was blessed. Now, of course, we know that in the book of Joshua, it was material possessions. But with us, we are blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. God could not bless us more abundantly than He has. And it takes courage. And so what He is telling them here is that they needed to know how much land God had given to them. I think most of us know a little bit of what's going on over there in the Middle East. And we know that Israel are being asked to give up some of their land. But you know, when you read this portion, there's a tremendous piece of land that God gave to that nation. And they are going to possess it. The reason they haven't yet possessed it is because they didn't count upon God. They were afraid. They let the other things come in and hinder them. And that's what is the big hindrance in our lives. We allow little foxes. We allow friends. We allow friends who say, oh, you're not going to do this and put the Lord first. You're too sanctimonious. You're just trying to be something special. Oh, dear young people, live for the eye of the Lord. Live for Him, and you'll be blessed in your soul, and you will be encouraged. Well, here we find, as I say, the first thing is to know how largely we are blessed. Do you realize how privileged you are that you here live in a land like this, where you have such liberties? And why, even in the days of the apostles, they never had what we're having tonight. That we could have a group of young people together, and almost every one of you has a Bible of his own. That was never so in the times when even Paul preached. They might have a little portion of the Old Testament. They might hear a couple of the epistles that Paul wrote. Some of the Gospels hadn't been written. They weren't so wonderfully blessed. You and I, in 1995, are greatly privileged. We have the whole revealed mind of God given to us. Do we value it, dear young people? I remember a dear old brother, he said to me, every time I pick up the Bible, I say to myself, God's precious word. And I've lived long enough to say this, that you have a greater treasure than this precious book. It gives you all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Well, all this was given, but there's a little clause here. It says, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you. Now, there was a great deal of land, but in reality, it didn't seem like theirs until they had walked over it. You might own a piece of property, we'll say, in Florida. And it's a beautiful piece of property. And you have the title deed. You know it's yours. You can prove to anybody that it's yours. But I say, what's it like? Well, I have a title deed, but I've never been there. I've never walked over it. I don't know whether it's really a nice piece of land or not. I know it's mine, but I've never walked over it. And how are you going to prove the happiness and blessedness of what you have in Christ as you walk day by day in the enjoyment of what you have in Christ? Forgiven, justified, sanctified, brought into the family of God, indwelled by the Holy Spirit, your body, the temple of the Holy Ghost. Have you walked in it? Have you made it your own? If I, as I say, had this piece of property down in Florida, I could say it's mine, I've got the title deed. But I don't know what it's like. I've heard a little bit about it. I've seen some pictures, but I have never been there. Oh, dear young people, what I want to encourage you, may God give you the courage to walk in the truth you know. When the Lord gave the land to Abram, he said, walk through the length and the breadth of it. The first day, he probably didn't see very much of that land. But as the days went on and he walked in it, it became to him more and more precious. And I can tell you that the more and more that you walk in the truth of God, the more you'll say, I see, it's well worthwhile, 1,000 times worthwhile to live for this wonderful Savior who gave himself for me. So I say here, he needed courage. He couldn't lean on Moses any longer. Moses was dead. Maybe there's somebody that you've leaned on, and that person is gone. Maybe in the little meeting where you go, those brothers that you looked up to, they're gone. And you say, we miss them so much. But dear young man, there's a new responsibility coming upon you to fill the ranks. And that's what Paul did, as it were. He threw the torch to Timothy and said, Timothy, I'm going, but here it is. You walk in this truth. And that's what I want to do tonight. I want to throw the torch to you and say, you have this precious book. I'm not blessed any more than you are. You have the same wonderful Savior. You have the same portion. Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. May the Lord give you courage
to walk in what you know. To walk in what you know, I say.
Now, there's another one here. In the 7th verse, there's a second exhortation. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law, which Moses thy servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that I have commanded thee, that all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and thou shalt have good success. So the first one was the courage to walk in what had been given. The second one is an encouragement to obedience. You know, we're often tested about this. Two ways open up before us. We can obey what God says, or we can say, well, everybody's doing it. Why should I be different from the rest? But, dear young people, that thou mayest observe to do, turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. Here we have two words, prosperity and success. Prosperity and success. Many young people have prosperous lives. They have successful lives. But what is really success? Is it to become a millionaire? Is it to strike some good thing in the electronic world or in something in business and say, I got the right thing. I've done well. Is that really what God calls success? No, God says your life is successful if you live in obedience. Lot made a choice. He saw the well-watered plains of Sodom. He went down there. He brought his family down there. And I'm sure that he expected that he would be able to live a life, and he really loved the Lord. You know, the Bible tells us that he was a just man, but he vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. And you know, if you don't follow the Lord Jesus, if there's some area in your life that you're saying, I don't want to put the Lord first in that area, it's too difficult. It would cost me too much. You're not going to have a successful Christian life. But if you just say, the Lord's done so much for me, I owe everything to Him, and I want to live my life to please Him, dear young people, He'll help you. He'll give you the grace and strength. And when your life is manifested at the judgment seat of Christ, then won't it be wonderful to hear the Lord's well done. I sometimes said, our life is something like wrapping up a package for somebody that we love. You and I, if we're saved, we can say we love the Lord Jesus because He first loved us. And you know, when you love somebody, you like to do something for them. I don't think if a birthday of somebody you love comes up, you say, I don't care whether they like the gift I choose for them or not. I like it, that's the main thing. I'm just going to give it to him. No, you don't act that way. If you love that person, you listen. You hear them express their tastes. And one time you hear them say, oh, you know, there's something I'd really love to have. If you ever want to give me anything, that's what I'd like to have. Always have. Got the answer. I got the answer. And you wrap the parcel up and you say, I'm just waiting to see her face when she opens it. I know that's what will please her. Dear young people, did you ever think of your life being that way? Your life is going to be unwrapped at the judgment seat of Christ. And won't it be wonderful to hear the Lord say, I'm so pleased. I told you what I like best, and you did that just to please me. I really value that. Oh, dear young people, it's worthwhile. Then shalt thou make thy way prosperous, and thou shalt have good success. And then the last one is in the 9th verse. Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of good courage,
Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. The first one then is knowing how richly you're blessed in Christ and having the courage to live in the enjoyment of what God has given you. The second one is that you're trying to please the Lord in your life, and He'll give you the courage to go against, shall I say, public opinion and just say, well, I love that person. Supposing somebody says, I don't like the gift that you've chosen for your dear friend. You say, I don't care whether he likes it or not. I'm doing it for my friend that I love. And I know it would please him or it would please her. Well, then the last one is, and I always remember what a dear brother said to me when I was a young person, just about the age of most here. He said, Gordon, I never ask the Lord to be with me. I just ask Him to give me a sense of His presence. You know, the Lord has promised, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. And I want to tell you, if you're the Lord's, He's always there. He's right there. He hears your cry. When you get in trouble, He has provided that He is an advocate to restore you. When you're in a desperate situation and you need help, He says, let us come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. I say He's always there, but do we have the sense of His presence? The Lord is thy God is with thee. He's right there with you. He's never going to leave you nor forsake you. Are you living in the enjoyment so that when problems come up, and there are a lot of problems in youth, that life isn't easy, and it isn't more easy in this generation in which we live. But the Lord is there, and He's just wanting. He's your best friend. He died for you. He gave Himself for you. He's won your heart. Isn't it worthwhile to let Him have that place and know that He is right there and live in the enjoyment of His company? I've heard it said that a real friend is a person that you can spend 15 minutes or a half an hour with him, and neither one say a word, but both be benefited just by being together. It isn't always that you have to say something or you have to do something, but just to know He's there and He cares for you. He loves you. He's your companion. He's the captain of our salvation, leading us home to glory. Well, I just want to say these words to encourage you, because if you just do what those first verses that I read said, say, Lord, here I am. I want to please Thee, not by some mystical thing, but an intelligent service that You can render to Him. And then you say, I'm not my own. My body is not my own. I'm bought with a price. I belong to the Lord. And then the Lord says, well, I want you to know how richly you are blessed. I want you to walk in the path that I've marked out for you, because it's really the path of happiness. And I want you to be assured that I'll never let you down. I'll always be with you. And that's how we have courage for the Christian life. I hope none of you dear young people will go away from these meetings and say, I'm discouraged. Things didn't turn out the way I like. They don't always turn out the way we like them. God allows disappointments, as the little poem says, disappointment, His appointment. Change one letter, and I see that the thwarting of my purpose was His better choice for me. I'm going to say that again, because you notice just the change of the one letter. Disappointment, His appointment, change one letter, and I see that the thwarting of my purpose was His better choice for me. And as I look back over my life, I think, oh, how wonderfully the Lord has come in. Things that you didn't think would work out, and He works them out so wonderfully. You get a disappointment, and when you turn to Him and take it from Him, He lets you see that He has something better for you. Our God is the God of all grace. He's a loving God. If you don't know Him as your Savior, why not receive Him tonight? And if you do know Him as your Savior, may your heart and mine too say, Lord, here I am. I'm not my own. I belong to Thee. I want to acknowledge Thy claims over me, that we should not live the rest of our time unto ourselves, but unto Him who died for us and rose again.